out of here by 10, I think. But we're going to go through a checklist tonight, and then next week we'll go through a checklist as we go into our special week of meetings. Let me just give you these, and there's no certain order other than an order maybe that I found. And we'll just start in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. We're not going to go to every verse. Some of them I might just tell you what the verses say or remind you of the story. But 2 Chronicles 32 and verse number 24. In those days Hezekiah was sick to the death and prayed unto the Lord. And he spake unto him and he gave him a sign. And if you remember, Hezekiah got to see a sign of a sundial going backwards 10 degrees. And God added, 15 years to his life. And God was good to Hezekiah because he was going to die. And God gave him 15 more years. However, in verse 25, but Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore was there wrath upon him and upon Judah and upon Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, verse 26, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah, but rather it came later. And his son Manasseh at age 12 in the next chapter became king. And that's when it really got bad. But it started in the days of Hezekiah. In fact, if you remember, Hezekiah is the one that said, oh, well, at least it's good as long as it's good in my days. And that's a sad statement and a sad thing to remember for someone to say. But verse 25, Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. You know, every Thanksgiving, on Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, we get together and we sing, but we, in between the songs, we have a time of testimony. We probably need to be doing that more than once a year, and sometimes we have. But a time of standing up and just saying what we're thankful for. But we should be able to do that. In fact, if you have something tonight you want to say something, that'd be fine with me. But if you come on a Sunday, you come on a Sunday night or a Wednesday or whatever, and you say, Pastor, I just want to praise the Lord. You know, we're always good at praying for stuff, but I just want to stop and give thanks to the Lord. We don't have to wait till November to give thanks. But a lack of gratitude. Someone said this a long time ago. The reason why a proud man is always an unthankful man is because he never gets as much as he thinks he deserves. Think about it. A proud man is an ungrateful man because he never gets as much as he deserves. A lack of gratitude is really a result of pride. And then in Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16, I'm not going to read all of that. But it's the story that Jesus told about how that someone went out and hired people to work for him. And he hired for these people and agreed on the amount, and hired these people and agreed on the amount, and hired these people and agreed on the amount, and hired these people at the very end of the day and agreed on the same amount. And, of course, the people that worked all day were upset that they still got the same amount as the people who only worked, you know, an hour or whatever it was, a few minutes. Pride is caused by anger and moodiness because of selfish expectations. I know that a lot of times my anger is simply a result of things not going according to my plan, my schedule, right? And it's a pride. One of the worst things that can happen to me, and probably nobody else in here has this problem, is when I go to my in-laws. Not because my in-laws are bad people, but because my in-laws are excited about their daughter being there, their daughter's children being there, and that guy that she married. In my home, I'm number one. I go to their home, I'm number 10. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. And that's probably why in-laws clash with son-in-laws, whatever it is. Because we're used to being number one, and we like that. And it's a result of pride. Number three, seeing yourself better than others. Luke chapter 7, 36 through 50. Simon, the Pharisee invites Jesus to his home. And while he's inviting Jesus to his home, this woman comes in and starts weeping and washing the feet of Jesus. And of course, Simon's thinking to himself, she's a sinner if he knew who she was. Pride can result in seeing yourself better than others. And of course, Jesus knew exactly what Simon was thinking, and Jesus thought that maybe Simon had some issues in his life. In fact, Jesus said, you know, to whom's been forgiven much, they love much. But those who are forgiven little, they love little. This woman here has done much for me. You never washed my feet. I came into this house. Why? Because you have a better opinion of yourself than you should. I would rather have an under opinion of myself than an over opinion of myself. I would rather realize that I don't deserve to be there. Seeing myself better than others. Number four, focused on our own abilities instead of God's abilities. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 25, it talks about the foot and the hand and the eye and the ear and the members of the body and how that some members are seen insignificant versus other members and all that sort of thing. Pride can result in focusing on our inabilities. Well, I'm just a toe. I'm not talented like the eyeball is. The eye can do so much. It sees everything and it's pretty. Nobody likes to look at a toe, but eyes can be pretty. I'm just a toe. Nobody notices me. I'm going to tell you something. When your toe's not working right, it's a big deal. You can't walk without certain toes. But sometimes we think we're not very important and we're not very significant. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the members in the body. Let me tell you something. Don't ever think you're not important and you have this inability, because you forget that God is in charge. You focus on your own inability. That's really a form of pride. I can't do it. You know what? God got angry with Moses when Moses said, I can't talk. And God said, fine, I'll let your brother do the talking. God said, I made your mouth. You don't think I know what I'm doing? If I want you to do this job, I promise I'll help you do it. But pride steps in the way. And it's kind of a backwards pride. So sometimes we think we're being humbled. Oh, I can't do it. And it's really kind of a backwards pride, because it's really a self-consciousness that's really self. It's wrong. Watch out for that too. That's a backdoor pride. Also, in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, I don't want to not quote some Bible to you when I talk about some of these things, and I don't have all of them memorized, but in Proverbs chapter number 10, we'll try to hang around Proverbs for some of these and stay there for some. But Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The more talk, the more chance of sin getting in there. Too much talking is a result of pride. I'm supposed to be talking right now. But you know, there are times when I'm not supposed to be talking. And pride is a result, sometimes it results in too much talking. Too much of wanting to be heard. And it's usually too much about us, right? So look at Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 2. Verse 1 and 2. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. Be careful, and don't be talking about yourself and bragging on yourself. That's not good either. Of course, talking too much, talking about you, or then talking about your problems. That's still self-centered. It's all about pride. Number seven, seeking independence and control. Seeking control. You know, we've been talking about husbands and wives in our Sunday school and out of 1 Peter, but in Ephesians 5, 20, 21, it says, Ephesians 5, 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands is under the Lord. We need to submit ourselves one to each other unto the Lord, but we also need to recognize that God has given the husband to be the ruler and the leader, the head of the home, and a wife that doesn't want to submit, there's a pride problem there, and there's a submission problem. And a lot of people say, well, they just have a submission problem. Actually, it's a pride problem. I don't want to submit. I don't want to surrender. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention. but with the well-advised is wisdom. And so when there's a lack of submission, it's because someone's not being humble enough, and they're seeking an independent. You say, well, I like being independent. And I think listen, God makes you independent because you're dependent on Him. But when you're independent of God and you're not obeying the Bible, then that's not a good independence. That's a bad independence. I need to be independent of man and dependent on God. And if I'm supposed to submit, you know, I'm like, for instance, I'm the head of my home. I'm the pastor of the church. But if I get pulled over tonight on the way home, I have a submission that I need to fulfill. I need to submit to my authority with the flashing lights. Okay? I need to be submissive. And we don't like to submit sometimes. That's our pride. Number 8, consumed with what others think of you. Galatians 1:10. Galatians 1:10 says, as I turn there, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Being consumed with what others think. That's a huge one for us. That is a big one. Bookface is all about that. Consumed with what others. I got 300 likes. Or whatever. Being consumed with what others think of you, as if that makes it all good. Number 9, offended by criticism. Proverbs chapter 9 again. Proverbs, we're going to keep going to Proverbs. Proverbs 9 and verse 7. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. You know, it's a shame when you reprove a scorner. He that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. You know, sometimes it's just a lost cause when you try to reprove a scorner. Because they'll just turn it right on you. It's a sad thing. Offended by criticism. Can't take criticism. Verse 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Let me ask you, young people. When your dad or mom reprove you, do you love them for it or do you hate them for it? You're a scorner if you hate them for it. You ought to read all the time scorner is used in Proverbs. You don't want to be a scorner. And so that's why some parents don't want to reprove their child, because they get scorned. Rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. Give instruction, verse 9, to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. But pride keeps us from learning and increasing. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Number 10, being unteachable. Being unteachable. Psalm 25. We sing that all the time. And since I don't know for sure which verses are 4 and 5, I'm going to have to look it up. But I know we sing it. We probably have it memorized. Once I turn there and start reading it, we're all going to recognize it. But Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. If you're a proud person, you're unteachable. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20 says this, Proverbs 19:20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. When the blind man in John chapter 9 was healed by Jesus, the blind man was confronted by the Pharisees. And the Pharisees started asking him questions about, who is this man and why are you giving him credit, blah, blah, blah. And the blind man started telling the Pharisees, you know, you need to believe. I mean, if he can heal blind people, you really ought to rethink what you think about this man. And in verse 34, they said, we know the law. We're Pharisees and we know the law. How dare you try to teach us, you blind man that just got unblind? See, they couldn't be teachable. Why? Pride. Are we listening or talking? Okay, let's just wait till after. You can do all the explaining after I'm done. Being teachable. If you're not teachable, there's a pride problem. How about number 11? Being degrading and hurtful. Chapter 12 and verse 18 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Degrading and hurtful. That happens a lot. It's easy. And it's a pride thing. Number 12, being defensive. Being defensive. Being on the defense. Remember in Genesis chapter 3 when God came to Adam and Eve? Adam said, "The woman that you gave me." And the woman said, "The snake that you made." They all in defense. And that's pride. And pointing at someone else. Pride. Number 13, not admitting when you're wrong. Not admitting when you're wrong. Look at chapter 10 of Proverbs, 10:17. Proverbs 10:17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. If you can't take reproof, you're in error and you're just adding to your own demise. No one's going to respect that. Chapter 15 and verse 10. Chapter 15 and verse 10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. You won't live a long life if you can't be corrected. And of course, 1 John 1 talks about if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. But if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, not admitting when you are wrong. I know this is true for my own family, but I know it's true for you too. I preach a lot. I teach a lot. I'm doing all the talking. I'm doing all the instructing. But you know what? I'm not perfect. And there are times when I'm wrong. And there are times when I need to make an apology. Or I need to ask for forgiveness. Or I need to just admit and confess something as being wrong. Especially in my family, because they know me and they're around me all the time. And so they know all the inside and out details. And there are times when I've had to pull all my family together and just say, I was wrong. I did this. I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. And I did this. I did that. Listen to me. My children have to hear me say that. Or the next time that they hear me preach in church. Mom and Dad, you can preach to your kids all you want. But if you can't take correction and you can't admit when you're wrong, you're not teaching your kids. We don't just teach with our mouths. Did you know that? We teach with our actions. We teach with how we behave much more than what we say. We teach a lot by our behavior more than what we say. And we need to be careful that we're not being hypocritical. And when you can't admit you're wrong, it's a pride. Of course it's a pride. You remember Fonzie? I don't recommend everything about Happy Days, but when I was a little kid, I remember this TV show called Happy Days. And I just remember Fonzie had a problem with saying I was woo woo. He couldn't ever say I was woo woo, right? I was wrong. And then 14, not asking for forgiveness. Matthew 5, verse 23-24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Not asking for forgiveness. Number 15, lacks biblical prayer. Lacks biblical prayer. In Luke chapter 18, you've got the publican and the sinner. And the publican thought he was praying, but he wasn't. And the sinner was just saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said, whose prayer got answered? Whose prayer was being heard? The one who was humble, not the one who was talking about, "God, I know you're already impressed with me." Pride. What was the verse I started with tonight? God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Our prayers are not very effective because of pride. Number 16, resists authority, is disrespectful to authority. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, unto them that sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. The Bible tells us to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man. But you know what we say? Yeah, I happen to know that cop. He's not perfect. I know stuff about him. That doesn't matter. The ordinance makes him in charge. That's why I said I need to pull over and I need to show respect. Doesn't matter if I happen to know something, and it'd be wrong for me to bring up their past at a stop, a traffic stop. It's pride. Resisting authority and being disrespectful. Over in Hebrews chapter number 13, it says this, Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. You know what? It's perfectly biblical to say, because the pastor said, that's why. What are you, the Pope? No, the Bible says you're supposed to obey them that have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God. Now, if the pastor's telling you to do something unbiblical, don't listen to him. But if you can't show in the Bible that it's unbiblical, then be quiet. I know, we're in America and everybody's independent because everybody's proud. Verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Disrespectful to authority, it's a bad deal. It happens a lot. People ought to say, hold it, you're talking about the pastor? No, the Bible says that we ought to take it to the pastor before with someone else. Have you talked to the pastor about this? Or are you just talking about it? Or then his family or whatever. Number 17, forcing your opinions. Forcing your opinions and having your way interjected. That's something that happens a lot. Philippians chapter 2. Here's what it says. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to just start in verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Look not every man, verse 4, on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know, it's easy. I was talking about, since I'm the head of my home and I'm the pastor, it's easy for me to just always get my way, and that's, we're going to do it this way. And it's important to remember that we need to stop and realize there's other people have a schedule, and I don't want to just step in and say, here's what we're going to do, without realizing that other people have to have a warning. And I'm always telling Miss Wilma, don't announce a ladies' meeting 2 days before the meeting. Those ladies need to have time to know that's going to happen. And always I'm trying to remember, look, there's things that go on that I might think this is a good time, but it might not be a good time for everybody to do something. And that's why we have to be careful that we're not forcing our opinion on something or then our agenda. You know what? This comes up in business meetings a lot. Oh, I think I want to have my opinion. Has that not ever come up in a business meeting? You bet. I think every church in the history of planet Earth has had their opinions, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's pride, folks. It's pride. Only by pride cometh contention. And there's nothing wrong with having an opinion, but forcing it. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Number 16, resisting authority. I already talked about that one. Forcing your opinion. Number 18, minimizing your sin. Minimizing your sin. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, He said, judge not, lest you be judged. And that's the most famous, memorized verse in the entire Bible. Everybody knows that Jesus said, judge not, lest you be judged. But what they don't know is that right after that, he said, but when you judge, you need to judge this way. See, people like to say, oh, you should never judge. No, the problem is that when we judge, we usually judge very hypocritically. We should use good judgment. But unfortunately, we're hypocrites when we judge. And the problem was that he was saying the mote or the little sliver in your neighbor's eye, and you're pointing that out. They've got something wrong. They've got this sliver in their eye. But you've got a beam. Aaliyah, you've got a beam sticking out of your eye. And you're trying to show your neighbor the mote in his eye. That's the problem. Minimizing your sin and maximizing others' sin. That's number 19. And that was also part of the situation with the publican and the sinner. I thank thee, God, that I am not as this sinner over here. We're easy to do that. We can see the faults of others and we recognize the motes they've got without realizing the beams that we have. Number 20, being impatient or irritable with others. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Being impatient, irritable. Number 21. Being jealous of others instead of happy for them. The Bible says that charity or love envieth not. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Being jealous, envious, instead of happy for them. It could be that you can't have more blessings from God because you can't stop being envious or jealous or whatever about something. Stop it. Just last night, someone was telling me about the huge homes in Custer County. There are folks who have homes in our county as big as our church building and bigger. Now, that's cool, I guess. That's wow. That's wow. Listen to me. As I get older, I hear that, and the first thing I think of is propane bill. Real estate taxes. I don't envy that. I got a mansion in heaven. Amen. I don't even have to maintain it. There are no taxes on it. But it's amazing how we, and listen to me, the people who are envious never get ahead. Because they have this pride. Well, I sure am glad I'm not a rich, stuck-up person like they are. No, instead you're a proud, poor person. Don't be like that. You'll never have what they have. Being jealous of others instead of happy for them. You got to be thankful that people are blessed and not be jealous. It won't do you any good. And then using others. What a shame to use people and just use them. It goes back to that Philippians chapter 2 where let this mind be in you and to look on others and not on your own things all the time and just using other people. And Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Someone said this a long time ago. It's important that we use things to help people and not use people to get things or something like that. It's important that we're not using people. Nobody likes to be used. And pride causes us to just use people like pawns to get what we want. And then being deceitful to cover our mistakes. Go with me over to Proverbs. I'll show you some verses in Proverbs again. Pride does that. We want to cover. We're trying to maintain an image. One of the funny things that pastors do. This is just a funny thing. Are you listening, Aaliyah? Don't talk, just listen. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. And then verse 16, and so integrity there is the word, integrity, being honest. 16:6. By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. And then 28:13 is the main one, Proverbs 28:13. I think I could quote this one. But it says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them, that requires humility, shall have mercy. Please stop covering. We all do it. Oh my, we all do it. Someone comes to you. Maybe the pastor comes to you and say, hey, I want to just talk to you about this. Hey, it's okay. Just take the correction. It's okay. And you know what pastors do? We do this a lot, just as a silly thing. It's 2:30 in the morning and the phone rings. And for some reason, as I'm waking up and I realize my phone's ringing, for some reason, my brain says, don't let them think you were sleeping. So I go, and I answer the phone.
Hello, this is the pastor.
Like, really? It's 2:30 in the morning. It's okay to be normal. But our pride tries to cover and try to pretend something that we're not.
Like I'm up praying at 2:30 in the morning.
It's pride. Now, how many of you know we all have that? We don't want to be caught off guard. It's a pride thing. So we deceive. We put on this image. That's what hypocrisy is having a face covering, a mask. That's the root word and the gender word behind hypocrisy and hypocritical is being putting on a facade, a false front like they do in downtown sometimes with the buildings, false fake front, being deceitful to cover up mistakes. 24, we're almost done. Drawing attention to ourselves. We read this on Sunday a week ago, I think, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, or the wearing of gold, or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Sometimes, ladies, this is the example. It's not just ladies, but sometimes ladies might want to draw attention to themselves. And so they'll adorn themselves for the sake of drawing attention to themselves. And of course, we all like it. Guys and gals alike, we like being noticed. But that's pride. And let me tell you something. You might not believe it. Maybe the girls in here won't believe what I'm going to tell you. But you ought to feel sorry for the girl who gets all the attention. She's going to have such a hard time making good decisions. She's going to have such a hard time deciding what really is the right guy for her. And understand that when you draw attention to yourself, it's pride. It's just pride. I'm not saying, and the Bible's not saying you're not allowed to do anything with your hair. You're not allowed to have any kind of adornment. It's just saying that the main attraction should be the hidden person. The main attraction should be what you are on the inside. See, as Miss Wilma gets older, it's. I don't think she looks any different. And a lot of people say, no, she doesn't. But honestly, it's the inside that's the most beautiful, not the outside. That's what matters. And yet we love the outward attention. We love that. We do because we're proud. And that's why we like it if some guy's paying attention to us, if we're a girl or vice versa, because of pride. We're proud and we like it when people rub our pride the right way. Just yesterday on my school bus, I'm driving and there's this young man riding behind me, sitting in the bus behind, right in the seat right behind me. He's been to church before. Most of you know him if I said his name. I think he's in sixth grade, I think. He said, well, so-and-so
dump me today.
I said, what?
So-and-so dumped me.
I said, you mean they were your girlfriend?
Yeah, but today she dumped me.
I said, that's okay. You probably weren't getting married this year anyway. I'm sorry, but I don't know why kids that young are into this stuff. I know they're getting it on TV and they're getting it from their peers and they're getting it from the music and the social media and everything around them. And you know what's sad? He said, but she gave me a kiss before she dumped me. That's very sad. That's very sad. Now, he said, the girl's parents or grandparents told her that she should dump me because we're not old enough or whatever it might be. Well, that's good. Dude, I think 12th grade is probably kind of young in today's world. But the point is that we like the attention. And it doesn't matter if you're 5th grade or 8th grade or 12th grade or 52 years old. We like the attention. And what that little boy doesn't understand is he doesn't really like that girl. He just likes the attention that she gives him. Because he loves himself. I know his problem because I used to be a little boy too. And he just likes himself. And so he likes it that someone likes him. And if little kids in here and older kids in here were honest with themselves, that's just the fact. And it goes back to pride. And we allow attention to be drawn to self because of pride. That's the main thing. Look at me, look at me. It doesn't matter. All these accolades that seem so important. You know, here's a real sad one. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. Proverbs 18:24 is our last one. Proverbs 18:24. A proud person a lot of times has no close relationships. Are you hearing me, Aaliyah? A proud person has no close relationships because of their pride. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And then Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, or 24 and 25 says this, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Except for our visitors tonight, I think everybody else in this room has heard me tell you that when I was a young man, I was the son of a pastor. And as a young teenage man, my goal in life was to go live in the Bighorn Mountains of Wyoming in a cabin. And to just grow my beard out and to live all by myself and to just take care of me. And maybe someday I'd go down off the mountain and look for some mountain woman that wanted to come live with me. And then I'd go back up to the mountain and just live all by myself. And that was kind of really, I really kind of thought that sounds like a pretty neat idea. I'd like that. But the Lord started to work on me, and the Holy Spirit said, you know, that's really pretty selfish. And it's really a pride problem. And really, you don't want friends because you're proud. And you don't need anybody because you're just you. And you know, that's true. And you know why people don't go to church? I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I should be talking about this on Sunday morning. But you know why people don't join the church? Pride. Well, there's a bunch of hypocrites at church, and there's weirdos at church. Yeah, exactly. Yep, we are. And, some people aren't. They're just not friendly. The Bible says, a man hath friends must show himself friendly. I don't have any friends in that church. How friendly are you? I mean, handshaking time. Are you going around? Are you like way over here shaking hands? Or do you just stay still? I mean, I could go to the mountains and live by myself. But if I did, there wouldn't be one person in here tonight. You know that?
because I realized, and I'm not a very good example of this, but I realized that people are what God's about. Not me. People. Love other people. The church is all about considering others and provoking others to love and to good works. And shame on us when we come to church and the whole thing's about me. Sure hope the pastor keeps me awake today. Sure hope I like the song today. Sure hope they're talented, whoever's singing today. And it's just all about me. It's never about anybody else. Listen to me. A long time ago, something changed in my life and something changed in my heart. And every time I was in church, it's all about others and what they're thinking and what they're doing. It's all about them, not me. It has to be. It has to be about others. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, but we just get over it. I remember one time, my wife, she fixed a great big meal and invited somebody over. And Sunday after church, we were going to have them come and eat with us. And that Sunday morning, the person said, "My wife doesn't want to come eat with you." And you know what? Because Miss Wilma is a lady who I think has a humble heart with the Lord, she never said nothing to me. I think she probably went in her closet and griped a little bit, but then got right with the Lord about it. It happened last night. She fixed a meal for somebody last night and they didn't show up. It's okay. You know what? I guarantee you, Miss Wilma's already planning on having, she's having planning people come over Friday night. Why? It's about others. It's not about me. Be honest. Go look in the mirror tonight and ask yourself, who is it I want as friends? People who make me feel good. Man, you're proud, dude. Is that what Jesus did? No. Jesus looked for people who needed him. Not for people who could build him up, but for people who were going to drag him down because they needed him. When we don't have close relationships, it's because we're proud. That's the only reason. I preach this to myself, to my children. You want to have friends, you got to be friendly. We have to consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not to forsake our assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. There's people who they're offended because of something happened, so they're not going to go to church ever again. I feel sorry for those people. They're missing out. And pride's behind it. The reason why we don't like church is because church rubs us the wrong way. See, in church, you're going to get offended by something or someone. You will. There's going to be some time or another where something's going to happen. It's going to offend you. You know what? That's good for us. That's a good thing. We need it. We need to be rubbing shoulders. We need to go to potluck even when we don't want to. And we need to sit down and rub shoulders with people that we would never normally sit with. Jesus ate with publicans and sinners. And we need to find out that, you know what, our pride is the problem. Our pride keeps us from, so we can't be close together as a church family and a church body when there's pride involved. Now somebody has to do the correcting. And the Bible tells us the pastor's, that's pretty much his job, is to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And there's times when he's going to have to correct. And you're going to have to just say, "Oh, man, his breath stink when he was up close to my face. And, oh, I just am irritated with his personality." But that, even if that's true, and I'm sorry if it is, but there's still the obligation of, what does the Bible say? And when we put on the defense and we're proud, we're just hurting ourselves. We're shooting ourselves in the foot. We need to realize how much pride destroys. And what does it do? What does it do? What did I start out talking about? God resists the proud and gives grace unto the humble. I just need the grace of God.
You do too. We need the grace of God. And so we've got to be humble people so that we can continue to have the grace of God in our life. Because without the grace of God, we're not going to succeed. We're not going to go forward. We're just going to wallow in the mire. Don't be proud. We all need to take a close look tonight at ourselves and be humble before the Lord. I have lots of pride. Just ask my wife, I'm sure. You do too. And I went through 25 things, and all of them might not have applied, but surely some of them did. Let's talk to the Lord tonight about what He's spoken to our hearts about tonight. With our heads bowed, let's take a time out. We can stand to our feet. If you need to get out of your seat and get somewhere where you can pray, go ahead. Let's talk to the Lord tonight and deal with our own pride and let God work in our hearts.